This week, the app review that I forgot last week, the device review that I forgot 2 weeks ago, and more on my quest for information on Windows Mobile 8. Trending mobile technology starts now. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, one more time. We got another round of Trending Mobile Technology. This is episode 81. And trust me, it has been a tough and trying spring so far, but you know, we are going to get back into the groove of things, get back on down, because as we're getting ready to head out of the month of April, things are really going to start getting crazy. Device releases, device reviews, software updates, various things of that nature. I mean, we got Google I.O. coming up, we got WWDC coming up, we got a whole bunch of other technology and trade shows coming up. Within the next few months, because these manufacturers and suppliers want to get their product on the market in time for holiday season 14. I mean, that's just the way it works out. But first, let's pause for station identification. Of course, you know me. I'm your mobile host, Piper the DJ. You can find Trending Mobile Technology right here on TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. That's right. We've been here for over a year now. I mean, that's when I started this show on my own channel, I never imagined being with the guys that I'm with and more information on the TCNet. Once I get to the tail end of the show, which is where I put the plugs and shoutouts, typically speaking. But, you know, real simple. I don't do too awful much on social media right now. That is subject to change. I mean, understand, full-time dad, full-time worker, full-time student, okay? So there's not a whole lot of time for me to do social media because if I'm at work or I'm at school, obviously I can't be on the machine, right? I mean, so... But I am on Twitter. I am on Google Plus. Best way to get a hold of me, I'm seriously, reach out and touch someone. Reach out and touch the Piper. PiperTheDJ@gmail.com. I'm the only guy there. It's all one word. Ram it together. It's me. Okay? Questions, comments, you want to chew my ass out? I had somebody who came unglued. Reached out through the email machine and just a guy that I haven't heard from in a really long time. I know the entire spirit of doing this because he and I go back a ways. But the short answer is, let me know what you think. Do you have any thoughts? Do you have an article you'd like me to go over? I mean, I'm always open for suggestions. Okay, just because it's a panel of one now, which is me, okay, I will gladly have conversation with somebody. Okay, I'm also on Google Hangouts. Piper the DJ. I mean, it's virtually the same thing as my email address, right? Look me up on Piper the DJ. Shoot me a hangout. I will gladly discuss what you want to discuss. You can find me on Twitter, too, as Piper the DJ. Mr. Old School and I have plenty, and I mean plenty, of correspondence to the Twitter machine. But or tweet machine, whatever the proper terminology is nowadays. But, you know, moving forward, lots of stuff going on, okay? Get ready to hold on to your bootstraps, folks. I've got this aching feeling like this year is going to be the year. Okay, and I mean, and hear me out when I say this, 12 months from now, so between now and this time, 2015, I have a feeling every bar in this mobile industry is going to be changed. And here's why. If you look back, and I say look back because hindsight is always 2020, and I say this not only to you, but also to myself, and I look at the advancements of technology, 20 years ago, who had a cell phone? The only people that had cell phones, drug dealers and salesmen. Truckers, they didn't. They had their CBs, okay? Now, everybody's got a cell phone. I mean, even, what, 10 years ago? 15 years ago, all people had was flip phones. Nobody had a camera, and now we've got microcomputers in our pockets. To a point where laptops and tablet PCs, etc., are becoming obsolete because of devices. And we're going to get more into that here in a minute. But I'm just saying, with the announcement of wearables, I mean, Apple's on the hot seat for their iWatch. Microsoft is on the hot seat for their Windows Mobile 8 device, okay? Android Wear has been announced. Two devices are on the market. Google I.O. is on the forefront. Okay? Things are moving. They're shaking up. They're going, oh my goodness, they're going wild and crazy. WWDC is going to be crazy this year. WWDC is going to be crazy. That's just all there is to it. Because Apple is on the hot seat. They are. I mean, now granted, Microsoft had their developer conference a couple weeks ago. They announced Windows Mobile 8.1, which good thing to know that they're still going in the same direction of Windows 8. It looks like now that we're out of the Ballmer era, and all the fiascos that he brought with him. See, I can say this because I have not been pro-Microsoft in, at least 10 years. At least 10 years. It's even, I'd say 98. And that might even, no, 2K was good. 2K was good. 2000 was good. So I was advocating for Microsoft still with 2000. Windows me, but totally bad deal. But as far as the mobile goes, I wasn't big on mobile. Now, granted, conversations with Mr. Old School, Joe from Chicago, various people of that nature, it's enlightening. It's encouraging to see people making steps, willing to share opinion, okay? And I'm not going to be so bold to say that, screw you, you know, I'm smarter than you are in this bullshit and done it. No. I'm not going to be so arrogant to say that I'm smarter than anybody else when it comes to mobile tech. Again, just because the words come out of my mouth don't mean it's right. My objective with this trending mobile technology is to make sure the average consumer has enough information to make an educated decision based on the information that's available to them. Okay? That's just it. And in order to do that, I have a device review, which Mr. X so very politely reminded me that I forgot to review. At this point in time, most people are dubbing it the Aussie phone. And it's actually kind of funny, the way people talk about it. For Christmas, I got my wife the HTC One. That's the M7. She likes it when it functions correctly. No, it is not rooted. No, it is not ROMed. Just for the simple fact that it's a big step. I mean, you know, I hear stories about guys getting a hold of their ladies' devices and doing strange things to it. I'm just, you know, if that's not what she wants, that's not what I'm going to do. She hasn't said anything to me about rooting or ROMing her device. And you know something? That's fine for me because she's happy with it the way it is. And she likes it. Okay. So the HTC One, the new HTC One came out earlier this month, and it's the HTC One M8. Or as the folks across the pond and down under would say, the mate. See what I did there? M8, mate, yeah. All right, anyway, moving on. This is the HTC or HTC M8 or the new HTC One. Based on the images that I've been able to get a hold of, the body style is about the same. You got the front-facing picture, the front-facing speakers with the aluminum frame. It is available on just about every 2G, 3G, 4G, and LTE network that's out there, as well as GSM and CDMA. It is operating on a nano SIM. Current dimensions are 146.4 by 70.6 by 9.4 millimeters. Makes it pretty dinky. 160 grams, which puts it under the weight of my Note 2 easily. Looking at a Super LCD Gorilla Glass 3 with 16 million colors, 1080 by 1924 at 5 inches with a 441 ppi pixel density. It is compatible with multi-touch, and it contains HTC Sense version 6. Okay. Now pause a second. Many reviewers are saying with version 6, HTC is starting to get it right. Where many reviewers are citing that TouchWiz, when it first came out, it sucked, and it still sucks, Sense is starting to get it right. Now, I haven't used HTC Sense version 6. I've only used 5.5, and even then it was briefly. My wife hasn't complained too awful loud about the UI, but at the same time, she's not launching missiles, having conference calls and everything like that. But she enjoys her device, okay? So basic normal usage, HTC version, Sense version 6, is getting above standard reviews. You are looking at standard vibration MP3 and wave ringtones. It does have stereo speakers with a built-in amplifier and your 3.5 jack. It does take a micro SD card holding up to 128 gigs, coming in internal sizes of 16 and 32 gig flavors with 2 gigs of RAM, containing GPRS, Edge, and all the other data speeds that go along with it, as well as Wi-Fi, 802.11, A, B, G, and AC, Wi-Fi Direct, and hotspotting compatible with Bluetooth 4.0 and audio relay. It does contain NFC, depending on where you live, which means not every HTC One M8 is going to have NFC. For example, I don't think over in the UK NFC is a big thing. I don't think down under NFC is a big thing, but I know there's quite a few places here in the US where NFC is a big thing. Okay, near field communication, we've had that conversation a couple times already. It's supposed to have an IR blaster, and it does have a dual micro USB with MHL connection and USB on-the-go compatibility. It's got two shooters, obviously. The front one is a dual 4-megapixel 2688 by 1520 autofocus dual LED and double flash. That's supposed to give you that 3D perception on that ultra pixel thing that they got going on. It's supposed to give you that added depth for better clarity. Above standard ratings on the camera at this point, just so you're aware. You're looking at a 1/3 sensor size, 2 micropixel size, automatic simultaneous video and image recording with geotagging, face and smile detection, HDR panorama. It will do video at 1080p, 60 frames a second, 720p, 60 frames a second, ultra-high stereo sound, and video stabilization. Front-facing camera is a 5-megapixel, 1080p, 30 frames per second. Operating system is 442, running a Qualcomm Snapdragon 801, quad-core 2.3 gigahertz, a Crate 400. Displays the Adreno 330 with all the extra sensors, messaging, browsers, radios, as well as Java and colors. Now here's where it starts talking turkey to a geek like me. Item number one, battery. Non-removable lithium polymer 2600 mAh. Now according to them, it will be in standby, meaning you take it off the charger, put it in your pocket, never touch it. It will be in standby for 271 hours on 2G and 496 hours on 3G because the lower speed requires more energy, right? And a talk time, 14 hours on 2G and 20 hours on 3G. Will this be able to keep up with a guy like me? I don't think so. A, non-removable battery. B, I'm not big on battery packs. And C, see previous conversations concerning my battery usage. 2600 mAh battery. So I'm estimating under medium to medium high usage, which I will say a 10-hour day, I'm fully confident that this device would be able to keep up. I think this device would run 10 hours. There's also, because it's running a Snapdragon processor, you can get that Snapdragon Battery Assistance app off the Google Play Store, and that can help you configure your battery management and help you manage your battery a little bit better. Okay? Overall ratings, looks good. HTC One M8 is looking good and above standard. However, a lot of people are still saying, if you got the M7, wait a generation. They're still saying it, folks. I mean, they're not saying don't. Okay, you remember when I was talking to you about the next big thing for the Samsung Galaxy S5, many people were saying, don't. It's not necessary. I gave you the specs on the S5 versus the S4. Not spectacular. Again, the M7 to the M8, not spectacular, but that Sense 6 is kind of cool. A lot of people are saying, you want to upgrade? Go ahead and upgrade. It's no big deal. You'll enjoy it. You get the new KitKat anyway. That works, right? So overall, I believe this is on 5 stars. We're looking at 4 stars so far. And this is out of 827 users. We are getting an 8.5 out of 10 out of 827 users. Okay? So that's some information. I mean, it looks good. I mean, it's darker gray. It also comes in leather and steel, according to this. So, you know, if it's something, if you're an HTC fan and you're looking for availability, I mean, there's lots of these things that are out there available for you. Now, for those of you who might be fans of CyanogenMod, like me, those of you followers of the show who've been interested in it for a while, you know I've sworn by CyanogenMod for a really long time. And interesting thing about CyanogenMod is they teamed up with OnePlus One, or ONEPLUS, and the number one. Their dream child just released not too long ago, or just announced. You're looking at two different storage sizes, and, well, let me just run these specs really quick, okay? Two primary colors. You got silk white and sandstone black. Short answer, black and white. I mean, silk white, really? Okay, so you say silk white, alright, I'm not going to get in on that. Sandstone black. I thought sandstone was brown. I mean, really? Sandstone black. No, sandstone is nothing more than sedimentary rock. We learned this in biology many, many years ago. And as a matter of fact, I go camping and we had a sandstone bed anyway. Sandstone black. What happened to charcoal? Why do all these people need unique colors for black and white? I don't get it. I don't understand it. But anyway, dimensions, 152.9 by 75.9 by 8.9 millimeters thin. Weight is 5.71 ounces. Operating system is CyanogenMod 11S, as in Sam, based on Android 4.4. CPU is 2.5 gig Qualcomm Snapdragon 801 processor. Newsflash, that is not the top-of-the-line processor, but it is optimized to function fully and efficiently. Running the Adreno 330 GPU with 3 gigs of RAM. Coming in 16, check this, 16 and 64 gig sizes. I didn't stutter. 16 and 64 gig sizes. Current prices, we're looking at $3 and $3.50 respectively. Battery capacity is 3100 mAh with all the appropriate sensors. Screen size is 5.1 with a 1080p full HD 401 PPI and Gorilla Glass 3. It's got a rear shooter of 13 megapixel. It's got dual LED with an F2 aperture, a 5-megapixel front shooter that is 4K compatible, and the really interesting part, this device, the OnePlus One, running CyanogenMod 11S and SAM, is GSM and LTE compatible only. It is not, I repeat, not available for CDMA. That means Verizon and Sprint get the FU from OnePlus One. This will not function on their networks. This is a, I don't want to say it's a smack in the face, but this shows where Verizon's going to have their downfall. For years, they've said, oh, we can make it work. We can do this and we can do that. Guess what? When AT&T came out with GSM, Verizon should have kicked that CDMA to the curb and started upgrading their crap, because now they are behind the eight ball and they're screwed. Wi-Fi, obviously, it's running 2G and 2.4G and 5G, 802.11bg and an AC with NFC, GPS, and a compass. All the built-in ports and all that other kind of good stuff. No wireless charging on this, okay? Runs on a micro SIM, and it has one multicolored LED light. Now, here's the nitty-gritty. This is a top-of-the-line spec phone. Well, maybe not top-of-the-line, but real darn close. In the space of top 10, it might slide in easily at 4. Maybe 3, depending on how you look at these specs. The battery, as I said, is 3100 mAh. It is non-removable. You do have a couple custom options, though. The back pops off. And why the back pops off and the battery doesn't pop out, I don't get. But the back does pop off, and you can buy custom backs. Obviously, that doesn't float my boat for the simple fact that I'm not the guy that keeps his back open. I mean, it's going to go in a case, and off I'm going to go. I'm not looking at this phone, though. I'm not looking at the M8 either, to be honest. I've decided I'm waiting for Project Aura in January 2015, and I'm still excited about that one. So, overall, we don't have too awful many things about this yet, because it was just announced and made official earlier this week. But it'll function in the United States on any AT&T, T-Mobile, LTE, and GSM. But, as I said, not Verizon and not Sprint, because Verizon and Sprint are CDMA. Now, OnePlus One recognizes the trend in technology. They recognize the fact that CDMA is old tech. They recognize there's limitations. So maybe they're stepping up and being proactive, saying, we're not going to get the sales that we need in these two guys anyway. So we're just going to go ahead and stay where we're at. We're going to move forward. We're going to not worry about putting old technology in our devices and just run with it. People really want this device. They're going to go for it. They're going to break whatever damn contract they got, and they're going to drop 30, 40, 70 bucks at T-Mobile and get that package. Or they're going to overpay at AT&T and still get crappy service. But, you know, HTC One Plus One, it's out, it's there, it is available, and it still looks pretty good. Now, last week, I was talking about Tasker. I talked about it a little bit, and then I totally got sidetracked. Once again, folks, I'm sorry. ADHD is a bitch, I'm telling you. But it does what it does. There was an app review that I was turned on to, and I wanted to share it with you, and I apologize that I didn't, but like I said, I just got carried away. And so here we go. The app, if you are an Android user, they don't make this for iOS yet, but according to the developer, they're going to be releasing one for iOS here shortly. The app is called Agent, Do Not Disturb, and More. That's the complete name. But if you just type Agent into your search bar in your Google Play Store, it should pop up, one of the top hits. Okay? Now, what does this do? Once you install this, you're going to have 5 categories: battery, sleep, parking, meeting, and drive. Now, what these do, these are 5 little configurations that you can set up on your mobile device for functionality. Now, as a college student, my biggest embarrassment is running late to class, running into class, taking my seat, and forgetting to silence my phone. Now, most instructors are understanding about that. But the embarrassing part is, oh my God, I left it all. So you're trying to, if you're taking notes, you don't want to stop where you're at, because if you're in the groove and you're like, okay, you can't stop here. You've got to keep typing so you can finish your thought. Then you got to stop, reach your phone, shut it off, or whatever, okay? Agents, do not disturb. Here's the way it works. You've got 5 categories: battery, sleep, parking, meeting, and drive. Now, I'm just going to start at the top, work my way down. Battery. You can go in there and you can determine when it starts low powering your battery management. Okay. Galaxy S5 has a super low power drain to where if you get down to like 10%, you are guaranteed 24 hours. Okay. It's going to cut off your Wi-Fi. It's going to cut off your data. It's going to cut off your email. It's going to cut off your text messages, all that kind of stuff. You're just going to have a telephone there. For one, why would you want that for 24 hours? That makes no damn sense to me, but I'm not everybody else. Sorry. So you can go into battery management and set to where this low power trigger automatically sets, and you can set what exactly this shuts off. Number two is sleep. And this is something that's interesting to me, okay? Because, once again, I don't always remember to shut my ringer off when I go to bed. And I tell people, you know, on the weekends, you're lucky if I pick up my phone before 8 o'clock. But see, if you go into sleep, you can configure the hours when this automatically shuts the ringer off. Unless a particular individual on your contact list sends you a text message or tries to call. For example, let's say you're at home and your wife is out of town. Wife's out of town. Say she's driving. Oh, car breaks down. She can't get a hold of you. Ring, 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 ring. Oh, no. It's after hours. He's in bed. Oh, what do I do? Well, guess what? Agent looks at your contact list and says, oh, wait a minute, that's the wife. We need to ring this one so it can get through and wake up. Rings through, wakes up. Guess what, hubby? You saved the day. You can set the times on this. You can set who can get through and who can contact. Okay? I've got mine set to where it shuts off at 11 o'clock at night every night. Monday through Friday, it starts up at 5. Saturdays and Sundays, it starts up at 7. Now, there's a very limited list of who can wake me up for this, because my sleep is very precious to me. But for like email and stuff like that, things, I mean, I've had this installed on my device for over a week, and I have personally had to adjust my volume once. Just once, okay? So category three is parking. This is interesting. Here's why. With all the sensors that are in your device, this application will detect when you have stopped driving, meaning anything over 10 mile an hour or 20 mile an hour, I think it is. I don't remember. But when it senses that stop and then you're out on foot, it tags where you parked, parking garage, location, etc., to where it won't narrow it down to like feet, but it'll get you pretty darn close. I mean, instead of aisle A, it might get you to like aisle B. I mean, you get close to where if you've got one of those little wireless remotes, you can pump the panic button and get something to make some noise. I mean, you can get close. Moving on the list, meeting. Now, this is the one that really raised my eyebrows. Meeting. You launch this app, you go in there, you take a look, you set up the configuration. It accesses your device memory, and it accesses your calendar app. My calendar app happens to be Google Calendar. Duh. It goes through and it gives you a breakdown of how many calendars you have being shared with you, how many calendars are currently being accessed on your device, etc. And you can say which calendars it needs to check. Now, I have two different calendars on my device. I've got one for school, one for personal. But I have this configured to silence for both, because if I'm in school or if I take my kid to the doctor, I'm at a parent-teacher conference or I'm at a meeting for work or something like that, I don't need this beeping or nothing. It'll vibrate, but it won't ring, all right? It'll vibrate, but it won't ring. And once again, you can set up the throughput list, or you can set up who can call you or who can make contact or who can get a hold of you if they need to, all right, in event of emergency, which I understand, you know. And once again, this will only silence your alarm for events in your calendar that you have yourself marked as busy. If you didn't tag yourself in there as busy, it's not going to silence the alarm, okay? So that's a word to the wise. That's something I found out the hard way. Now, the last setting is called Drive. And here's what Drive does. In the state of Illinois, you are no longer allowed to use your mobile device while driving, unless you have a hands-free set, which I can understand, all right? But here's the thing. You can configure the drive portion of this application to automatically activate when it syncs with a particular Bluetooth hands-free set. Now, I have two Bluetooth hands-free sets, and here's the thing that's really cool. When I start up one of my Bluetooth sets, it syncs up with this. As soon as it starts happening, I start getting text messages read to me. It starts announcing all my phone calls. It becomes a little automated secretary right there on my hip, telling me what's going on. Hey, gotta get ready to go to class. Hey, gotta do this. Hey, gotta do that. Hey, get ready for whatever. I mean, this agent works almost better than Google Now, because Google Now, it just gives me a notification. It doesn't actually tell me what's going on. It just notifies me. Agent actually tells me what's going on in that particular situation. Now, you can set yourself up a widget on your desktop to where you can manually enable and disable, because, I don't always use a Bluetooth set. Not as much all the time, at least. Okay? So, there's a situation like that. In my opinion, Tasker was a bitch to set up. I mean, don't get me wrong. Tasker is a powerful tool. And if you got time to set it up from start to finish, more power to you. But I tell you what, this simple, lightweight power drain isn't too awful bad. 2%, maybe 3%, 5% tops in a 12-hour time period. Okay? Not too awful bad. I'm kind of liking it. I'm kind of feeling it. I'm kind of thinking that, this is a pretty good little app. Okay? You can find it on Google Play. iOS is in the works. Windows Mobile 8. I don't believe there's anything going on with that, because I'm pretty sure 8.1 is going to have all that stuff tucked into it. Okay? So, that's an app review. That's a great app review. And once again, folks, if there's an app that you're looking for out there, shoot me an email, pipewiththebj@gmail.com. Reach out, touch to me, say, hey, look, I'm looking for an app that helps with picking my neighbor's nose. And I'll look and see if I can find one, and then we'll just move forward from there. So, in my quest to learn more about Windows Mobile 8, I realized recently that I'm actually classified as an intellectual, which kind of surprised me, but, I officially have my associate's degree, so therefore I'm, quote, classified as an intellectual. So, in my quest to learn more information about Windows Mobile 8, I did what all, quote, intellectuals, unquote, would do, and I took a survey. I surveyed 200 people. Okay, now it took more than 200 people to accomplish this, okay, because all I did is I found 200 current Windows 8 users. Current Windows 8 users. I found 200 of them. I had to go through, believe me, I had to go through a lot of people to get those 200, all right? I asked them the following questions. Number one, what operating system did you go to or did you come from? Rate your overall transition. Did you make the full transition? Meaning, did you move your phone and your tablet? Will you get a Windows Mobile Watch if and when it comes out? How would you rate your overall experience? And why did you change? Okay, here's what we got, folks. What operating system did you come from? Believe it or not, 75% of the individuals surveyed came from Android. 25% came from iOS. It's not enough to knock Android off its perch, but that is a lot going to Windows Mobile, okay? Now, be advised, everybody that I surveyed was a business major. Business, all right? One of the questions that I asked is, what's your major? All these kids that I surveyed are business majors. And we're talking all ages, all the way from 20 to 30, all the way from freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, grad school, okay? Any of them. So I got a wide cross-section here. 75% came from Android, 25% came from iOS. Overall, scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the least, 10 being the greatest, how would you rate the overall transition from your operating system in Windows Mobile? Android gave it a 5. Not too hard, not too easy. iOS, 7. Harder than average. Which I didn't fully understand. I didn't fully understand that because I'm pretty sure that there's a transition tool to go from Mac to Windows and Windows to Mac. So I would figure that you could do pretty much the same thing from iOS to Windows Mobile 8. I don't know. I'm not a Windows Mobile 8 guy. The research that I've done doesn't lead me to believe that there is that type of a tool in place or a conversion tool of that nature. But, you know, it's there. iOS is harder, which I can understand because Apple is more proprietary. They've got more checks and balances in place, etc., things of that nature. So, you know, that's definitely something to look at. Did you make the full transition, including meaning phone and tablet? 30% said, yes, we did both phone and tablet. We got the 2-for deal. 20% decided they were going to keep their iPads. Okay? So, you know, do with that what you want. And as far as a watch goes, 50%, 1 out of 2, said that they would definitely get a watch if and when it decides to come out. Now, where am I going with this? Where am I going with this? 4 weeks, months, years, whatever you want to call it, I have had it out for Windows Mobile. For Windows in general. I have not advocated Windows. I tell people I've run Mac, I've run Linux, I've run Unix. People say, oh yeah, I've got this gaming PC that blah, 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 you know, and they start rattling specs. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a geek at heart, so I can keep up with computer specs just like the rest of them. But when they go trying to brag a computer to me, I just look and say, like, I'm sorry, dude. You know, I mean, unfortunately, I've been so jaded and so bugged up the ass when it comes to the specs on Microsoft devices. I just don't care anymore. But now that we're out of the Ballmer era, it looks, now granted, I get the idea that Windows 8 was Ballmer's thing. Maybe it was more Gates, I don't know. But I have a hard time believing that Ballmer did everything with Windows 8. Just because he spent so much time screwing the people with Windows Mobile 5 and Windows Mobile 6, Windows Mobile 7, okay? In the 10 years he was doing it. I mean, heck, Windows Mobile got so far behind just because for 3 years, that's right, 3 years, I didn't stutter. There was not a single darn update for Windows Mobile. And when they did put out an update, they paid off a developer and said, hey, we like what you got. Let's do that. So, Windows Mobile 8.1. I talked about it a lot last week. I think that it's really going to be doing a good thing. I think that it's going in the right direction. I think this could be it. Now, am I saying that Windows 8.1 is my next device? No. But, I am no longer saying, quote, Microsoft has no place in the mobile space. Why? Because Windows Mobile 8 is a good thing. I recognize the fact that Windows Mobile 8 and Windows 8 Desktop, they're designed to look the same, and they're both screwed up that way. They need to be kept separate. They need to be kept in their own little camps, and I get that. But the thing that everybody needs to remember is we are out of the Ballmer era. We have moved on. We are in a place where there are new possibilities. Okay, I mean, this guy coming in, and I can't remember his name. But he's already gone in the right direction once. I'm just looking to see him go the right direction again and see what happens and see where he goes and see what he does and see what's going to continue going on. So, you know, what's it going to be? Well, I'm a little bit more optimistic on what's going on with these guys. I mean, I'm not Debbie Downer anymore. I'm not, oh, Microsoft. No. Now, once again, folks, understand, Windows 8 might not be for me, but Windows 8 might have a place for you. All right, remember, they do have server. They do have that added security. I mean, you've heard reports from Old School and Joe from Chicago, both right here on this show, concerning Windows 8 Mobile and what it can do. All right, if you don't, get in the archives, review back, see what they've got. Lots of neat stuff, folks. Lots of neat stuff. Not OpenOffice. OneNote. I mean, Evernote. I mean, all the SkyDrive. I'm sorry, OneDrive. My bad. OneDrive. Plus Dropbox. I mean, so it might not have all the apps. Big, hairy deal. Does it work? And will it work for you? Do you need an exchange situation that'll function seamlessly with VPN security? Guess what? Windows Mobile 8 is for you. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, folks. 8 and 8.1 are going the right direction. And as long as Windows 8 or Windows Mobile keeps moving in the direction that it's going to do nothing but continue to improve and continue to get better and continue to go on its upward swing. It's going to continue. It's looking good. It's looking up. It's going to continue to look good and look up. This is all there is to it. All right, last subject, and I'm going to move on. Brand new line of Chromebooks came out. I know Chromebooks come out like once a month, but hey, we do have another set that's a powerhouse. And there's a question floating around as to whether or not Chromebooks are going to replace a desktop. So here's the thing to ask. With all the Chrome extensions that are out there, can you live your life in a browser? I mean, Chrome Sync is out now to where you could sync browser tabs from like a desktop application to your mobile application. And it works fairly well. I mean, it works fairly well with me 9 out of 10 times. And, it, you know, like I said, I've got that one place in the county where there's that white dot. And guess where it is? It's where I work. But at the same time, it doesn't bother me that much because I'm supposed to be working. So, you know, on my lunch break and stuff like that, it still isn't a big deal. So I don't always get all that sync stuff. But majority of the time when I'm in 4G or LTE, it's there. So with all the extensions that are available, the Dropbox, Drive, Hangouts, Google+, etc., 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 could you live your life in a browser? There's minimal storage. Skype does not work on the Chromebooks. And there are minimal applications that you can download for the Chromebook to include, but not limited to, phone editing, picture editing, audio editing, audio recording, etc. Okay, so pretty much anything and everything that I would need it for, I could use. Now, you could use it for, like, word processing and stuff like that, because you got Google Docs, you can get OneNote, you can get OneDrive and all that other stuff. But at that point in time, you know, would you really need, I mean, I looked at that and I was like, it can't beat the $300 price, but, I mean, is it really going to be that hard of a problem? I mean, most Chromebooks, they have one or two USB drives, slots, that you could throw a USB stick into it and off you go. Okay, but there are some cases where you can't do that. So, I mean, is it the type of situation where you can get it to function correctly? And if you can, great. If you can't, okay, no big deal. We can move forward with that and see what happens. So, you know, good, bad, ugly thing. Chromebooks, the big thing to ask yourself, can you live in a browser for the rest of your life? If you can, then the Chromebook is for you. If you cannot, then the Chromebook is not for you. So that's just the way that works out. And I tell you what, folks, it's I tell you, it's been 45 minutes already, you know, and for just me, that's an awful lot of talking for just me, myself, and I. Changing things around a little bit again. I mean, I hope you don't mind. I'm glad you're hanging out, that you're checking things out with me, and that you're just keeping in contact. Mr. X, you need to write in some more often, man. I mean, I don't like you texting me, being mad because I didn't do a device review. I mean, I'm glad to know that you're still listening. But, my goodness. I'm glad to know that you're still listening. But the bottom line is, you know, just reach out and touch everybody. You know, you got questions, articles, stuff like that, preppythedj@gmail.com. I'm here. I'll be more than happy to help you out. Check us out right here, trendingtopicsnetwork.com. We've got the Spanish announce table. The broadcast has returned. We've got the split decision. We've got old school at the movies. We've got trending mobile technology. We've got game face. We've got the way back throwback. I mean, just check in, because you never know what's going to be trending next. Ladies and gentlemen, from all of us to all of you, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. This was episode 81 of Trending Mobile Technology. Good night.